Thank you to all the Passion Gospel readers and to everyone for enthusiastically participating, even as members of the crowd. I was told that Larry has his pilot's license, and he definitely proved it today. So this is the Sunday where Jesus gets the rock star treatment, right? At least in the first half, right? During the Palm Sunday part, not so much in the Passion part. Now, I'm not old enough to have seen originally when the Beatles were on the Ed Sullivan Show and all of that stuff, the films of the Beatles and people rushing at them and throwing things at them and, you know, people fainting and all of that. I've seen similar things, though. I can tell you one occasion that I went to recently that was actually very similar, and this was a crowd of young kids and parents who had gone to see Thomas the Tank Engine. Okay. So we took, you know, you all know that Max is a huge fan of Thomas and trains in general, right? And so we took Max to see this special Thomas the Tank Engine event that was at this train museum up in Paris, California, not Paris, France. They're very similar. But. And this event was a big deal, right? I mean, we didn't think it was going to be a big deal, but when we got there and saw the line of cars that was stretched for miles back just to get into the parking lot, we said, oh, this is going to be a big deal. There were thousands of people there. And we had to wait in line after line to park, line to get in. And then once we got in, we waited in this long line to get into the place where we would wait for Thomas the train to come, and we would go for a ride. It was the Thomas engine and then some passenger cars. And you couldn't really see what was going to happen until you got right up to where the train station was, and the Thomas the Tank Engine pulled in. And when that train pulled in, it was like the Beatles showing up for the first time. It was... You talk about kids, parents, people screaming. I mean, it was just crazy. The crowd went wild. People were cheering as if this was a moment they had been waiting for their entire lives. Like, all of the problems in their lives had been solved right at that brilliant moment where this engine painted to look like a character from a children's story pulled up, right? And it's kind of funny to when we talk about it, but I think that we have a way of projecting our hopes and dreams in that same sort of way onto other people, right? Onto celebrities, onto leaders, onto politicians, whoever it is. We tend to put on certain people these aspirations, our hopes and our dreams, our visions of greatness, and the power to take away all the unpleasantness in our lives, right? All the uncertainty out of life. We want to find somebody who can do that for us. That's exactly what the crowds on that very first Palm Sunday were doing with Jesus. And I don't think it's a stretch to say that a lot of us still do the same thing with Jesus today, okay? Now, it's not a bad thing that we see Jesus as an aspirational figure, necessarily. But I have to wonder if our aspirations of Jesus don't always match the reality of who Jesus actually was. And I can give you an example of this. One of the things that I've seen is the way that Jesus gets held up as kind of a paradigm for leadership. Right, so I did my undergrad at Azusa Pacific University up there in LA County. And Azusa Pacific isn't exactly, I wouldn't say it's an evangelical institution necessarily, but it kind of runs in that kind of general sphere. And it being an evangelical-ish university, there's always some kind of Christian content that's boiling up into the studies, even when they're not specifically religiously related. And I did my undergrad degree in organizational leadership. And so a lot of the material that we read there was stuff about the leadership style of Jesus, right? Holding up Jesus as this kind of paradigm of how to be a leader. And the idea was that Jesus's form of leadership could translate even into the corporate world. So some could be, you could be successful and you could be holy all at the same time. It was great. It was great. But if you look at Jesus's leadership from that lens, from this organizational kind of corporate standpoint, he was pretty much a failure, right? He didn't really do all that well. I mean, yeah, he had some successes in his ministry on the local level. You know, he healed some sick people and loved some poor people. But in terms of actually having an impact and changing the system that he was challenging, he didn't really accomplish all that much, right? He was rejected by the very people he came to save. He was executed by the imperial powers that he came up against with very little resistance at all. And he left behind just this small group of uneducated, unorganized followers who really had no idea what to do after he was gone. If you're looking for someone who's a model of organizational success, you probably want to look at somebody else in the business world, not Jesus. That's not to say, though, that Jesus didn't display leadership. I mean, Jesus certainly was a leader, right? One of the things that we don't always notice, and this just came to me in studying the gospel for this Sunday, was that whole Palm Sunday story, there's very little that is actually about the whole procession thing, which is the thing that we make a big deal about, right? We do our procession in church, but if you look at that, go back and read that passage from Mark, and most of that passage isn't talking about the procession, right? It's talking about all the steps that led up to the procession. And I think that's where Jesus' leadership comes through. He had an impeccable attention to detail in all of these things that he was putting together to make this thing happen. You know, he was telling his disciples where to go, what to look for, who to talk to, what to say. He had all of the details figured out. Because this whole scene, this whole procession, served a very different purpose than anybody understood. This wasn't a show of power. This wasn't a rock star appearance. This was a piece of public theater, right? And the details that Jesus emphasized and made sure that the disciples understood was to get across this point that Jesus was nothing like these rock star messiahs that everybody was looking for at the time. This procession into Jerusalem was actually meant to mock this whole concept of royalty, this whole concept of celebrity. Jesus started out from the Mount of Olives, which is the place that the conquering king was supposed to come from in the legends around this, the story of the Messiah. But instead of coming in on a noble war horse, right, he comes in on a donkey. And it's not just a donkey, right? It's a colt. It's a baby donkey. It's a little donkey. So picture a grown man riding on a little donkey. I mean, you kind of got to picture like a grown person riding on like a kid's bicycle, right? His knees were probably scraping on the ground. He probably looked absolutely ridiculous. And so Jesus, by doing this, is taking this idea of something like a military parade and turning it into a clown show. And on the surface, it accomplished exactly what you might expect if you go up against a big imperial power and mock them, right? The procession leads to the passion, And we just experienced that for ourselves, right? One minute we're walking around waving palms, the next minute we're all shouting, "Crucify him." And don't we do that? Don't we do that with people that we project our expectations onto, and then they don't deliver? They don't deliver the results that we're looking for. Jesus' actions are a commentary on power, though. And it's more powerful than you realize. Because at the end of our gospel reading today, Jesus appears to be powerless. Right? He's laid in the tomb, the stones rolled across the door. But we know, we have this advantage because we know how the story actually ends. We know that it doesn't end today. We know that it doesn't end on Friday or Saturday. We know that the true end of this story is not today, but next Sunday. And we know that the powerless one carries with him all of that power of resurrection. But here's the thing. It is Palm Sunday today. It's not Easter. Not Easter Sunday yet. Thank God. Not ready for that yet. We still have Holy Week to get through. The suffering still lies ahead. It can't be avoided. We can't just jump to the good stuff. And here's where Jesus' leadership really becomes the model for us to emulate. Jesus made this statement. He made this triumphal entry, this path to the cross, knowing exactly where it would lead him. He knew exactly what was in store. So how do we live? How do we love? Knowing that suffering is bound to come in our lives. We can be assured that following Jesus is not going to lead us to the kind of power that the world recognizes as power. That's the problem with any kind of theology that teaches you that Jesus is the ticket to a good life, right? Because that sort of power, to be quite honest, is so much less than what Jesus actually offers. Jesus knew that all the power, all the celebrity, all the notoriety in the world could not give people an escape from the pain of life. So instead of offering them a way around it, he offered them a way through it. Not by avoiding pain, but by going right into it and holding that tension, that conflict, that suffering, until it's transformed by God's love. So as we come to the end of this journey that we've been on for the last 40 days, this journey of Lent, and we step into Holy Week, let's ask ourselves, are we trying to avoid facing those tensions? Are we trying to avoid facing those conflicts, those paradoxes? Are we looking for a way around? Are we looking for some Messiah to come and just take it all away? Are we looking for a way to go through it? Jesus shows us that he's not that kind of Messiah. And no one is that kind of Messiah. But he is the true Messiah who will not abandon us on the road to the cross, because he chose to walk that same road. And he chose to walk it willingly in the name of love. And so our question for this Holy Week: can we be bold enough to walk that road with him? Amen.
Amen. Amen.